Morning Drive with Goodman and Hurdle, presented by Silterhar Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silterhar Mazda. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wild Card Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Bruce.
And good morning, everybody. We're ready to go. Are you ready to go? Morning Drive, Goodman Hurdle. Watch us, MileHighSports.com. You can reach us on the Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed, at Bruce Hurdle, at Eric Goodman. If you're looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to rmfp.com. Bruce, you are ready to go. You got your protein thing. Is that it looks like a mason jar of raspberry jelly.
You know, my wife went a different direction today. She used a little...
She feeds you in the morning?
Well, she makes the protein drinks for both of us. Yeah.
Wow. I need to talk to Mandy about that.
She's a tremendous provider.
I mean, what do you provide?
Virtually nothing.
Right.
Heartache, not heartache. I try not to do the heartache.
Right.
But, you know, more work.
So Sarah is very similar to Mandy in which she is, both of them are perfect in every way, but they have one flaw, which is they have no taste in men.
Well, that could certainly be the truth.
Yeah.
In my case, at any rate. But she went with beet juice.
Oh!
Instead of almond, because we were low on almond milk today.
Almond milk?
Yeah, almond milk. And we try to keep it low fat. And this is actually pretty good. Flaxseed, hemp, a couple of things like that. Kale.
Hemp?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Yeah.
That sounds delicious.
It's actually not bad.
I'd ask to try it, but I will definitely take a pass.
Okay.
With that, time now for the lead.
The lead is presented by Smoke and Dave's Barbecue and Brew. Colorado's best barbecue since 2007. Get some tonight in Denver, Longmont, Lyons, and Estes Park.
Okay, so we learned something new about Russell Wilson yesterday.
Yeah.
Holds voluntary team meetings for the offense every Tuesday.
Voluntary.
Right, voluntary.
Everybody shows up.
Right, and then you followed up with a question saying, do you have detailed notes?
Hard copies, buddy. I want to know if things are distributed.
It's my understanding they could be as long as 15 pages.
That's what we've heard.
If you were a player, how do you feel about these meetings?
That's a great question.
Well, I thought of it myself, and unlike you, I don't need a teleprompter, TV boy.
Attaboy. There you go. Now we're on.
Okay.
4 minutes in. Beautiful.
Well, listen, I had plenty of flaxseed and beets this morning, along with a large serving of almond milk to help me think of that question.
I know. Am I that guy?
Huh?
Am I that guy? I mean, does that sound...
Did you have granola as well?
No, I haven't had any granola yet. I try to be careful of granola because, as I'm told, there's a lot of sugar in granola.
Oh, gotcha.
Remember, I'm old.
I'm old, too.
And I'm trying to maintain youthful appearance and health.
Well,
TV boy.
I think,
right?
I think flaxseed and almond milk and beets all ground up into a mason jar... That thing looks like an absolute hot mess in that jar.
It does. I would agree with that, but it tastes better than it looks.
The only thing you're missing is like an umbrella and a cocktail straw.
I'm working on that, too.
Okay.
Absolutely. Make no mistake.
I don't know if the beets can get through that thin straw.
Here is my thing. Look, there is a leadership component of this that I think everybody can fall in line with and on the surface can look at it and say, that's great. Good leadership, taking it seriously, working every day, doing, you know, all of those things. I get it. But there's also a component of control. There's a component of putting pressure directly or indirectly on guys on their day off, which I think is a real thing.
You just said the $64,000 word. Day off. Do the Broncos players have a day off on Monday? No.
Not really. They're doing rehab and therapy and all that stuff on Monday.
Okay, so the meeting's on a Tuesday.
Yeah.
Okay. They have a day off on Wednesday?
No.
Thursday?
No.
Friday?
Mm-mm.
Saturday?
No.
Sunday?
Yeah. Well, sometimes they take it off. That's a joke.
Right. So... Russ is asking these guys to work 7 days a week.
Yeah.
And I found it interesting. He said, I've been doing this since my rookie year. Oh, yeah. 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 When you beat out Matt Flynn for the job, mm-hmm. I'm sure you had a sold out auditorium day one as a rookie.
And that's a good call.
People were lined up like the Beatles reunion. Like they all suddenly came together. They went from heaven and earth, got together, and people are lining up around the block for tickets.
I took that to mean, although I see where you're coming from, I took that to mean that he's been preparing this as part of his discipline since his rookie season.
No, but I don't want your interpretation of what he said.
Well, that's
I want you to tell us what he said, not your interpretation.
He's been doing this since he was a rookie.
Boom. That's it. He's been doing it since he's a rookie. He hasn't been preparing for it. He's been doing it since he's a rookie.
Okay. So you're taking that to mean because you can interpret and I can't.
So
he didn't say I've been gathering guys. He said that I've been doing this. So
he sits at home and he's doing this on his own PowerPoint presentation?
I mean, my God, have you been around this guy?
Well, maybe he does do a PowerPoint presentation for
I don't
himself.
Know about, he hasn't said anything about a PowerPoint presentation. In fact, he didn't say anything about a hard copy.
Right.
But here's the deal. Would it really surprise you, and you've been around him as much as I have.
Yeah.
Would it really surprise you if Russell Wilson was doing stuff like this, like literally working on?
I bet he is.
I'll bet he is too.
Yeah.
I mean, there's part of that about him that you have to like.
Yep.
But if you are a guy, if you are rank and file.
No, you're not a guy. You're a grown ass man.
Yes, you are.
Is what you are.
Right.
Possibly married. Possibly with kids, possibly trying to spend some time with your family,
right?
Instead of going into this voluntary thing. I get it. It's all about winning. And there are going to be some people listening or watching on milehighsports.com saying, look at this team over the last 6 years. And if they really want to win, they should show up
for
Russell's symposium. Sometimes getting away from work recharges you more than doing it 7 days a week.
Well, I think you and I both know about that, not at the level of the NFL, but just in our own lives and in our own quest to be good at what we do, especially in media. It's a seven day a week job.
You're referring to the rule of 24s, okay? And this is the rule of 24s. Now, you are what, 63, 64?
I'm 64.
Okay. And I will be 54 next week. So I'm only 10 years behind you. I joke about this as much as anything else. But the rule of 24s in television has become, if you are 24 years old and you're willing to work 24 hours a day, mm-hmm. and you're willing to accept $24,000 a year,
which is about all right,
then you've got a job no matter what your experience level is.
Bingo.
And that's why when I flip on the TV, I see kids anchoring on the local news that look like they just had their bar and bat mitzvahs.
It has,
for those that don't know, that's the age of 13.
It has become, well, you and I are veterans. And we've been in this for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
That may be the most, that and the 24-hour news cycle is probably the biggest change in the business since you and I started. And I started, obviously, a little earlier than you did. But to me, that is the biggest change. The technology changes all the time, obviously.
I took us off the road. Yeah. Let's get back on the road. I applaud Russell Wilson for wanting to work even more.
Mm-hmm.
However, for a grown ass man who is a pro that's been doing this for a long time, I understand the ask. I understand this team hasn't been good for the last 6 years. But sometimes a day off will kind of recharge your batteries a little bit. I'm sure there are guys who do show up. I applaud his efforts. I get it. And I don't want to ever criticize hard work and getting better. But I don't know, it just doesn't feel right. They're asking somebody to work 7 days a week for an entire NFL season.
Yeah.
And I know it's voluntary, and I get it.
And maybe there are nuances that will develop with this. I did think it was interesting that he gave us the, you know, it was voluntary, but everyone's there.
Right.
Which, to me, indicates that there is pressure or indirect pressure to be there, kind of an all-for-one, one-for-all sort of thing, which I totally get. Right. You want to be a part of the answer. You don't want to be a part of the problem. Right. But wanting a day off or having a day away or whatever the case may be is not being part of the problem. That was collectively bargained. Tuesdays off, that was collectively bargained between the NFL and the NFLPA.
Back in the day when you were covering the Kansas City Chiefs and I was covering Mike Shanahan,
yep,
and they had voluntary workouts, everybody knew, at least in the Broncos organization, what the word voluntary meant.
Right.
Mandatory.
Sure.
Because Shanahan, I wouldn't say he would hold it against you and punish you for it, but everybody knew they better show up. Kind of like what Shanahan used to do with the media, something that you never had a chance to enjoy unless you've heard the stories.
Heard the stories, wish I could have experienced it.
Well, no, what I'm telling you about the media.
Oh.
He would have some of the PR staff look inside the press room, who's here today? And basically it was like being in class. It's almost like, okay, Goodman was here 15 out of 17 times. Shanahan would know who was there and who wasn't. Kind of like voluntary press conferences.
Actually, all press conferences are voluntary because we decide whether or not we're going to go.
But
the basic tenet of covering a team is through press conferences.
Right. Yeah, and Shanahan knew every day who was there and who was absent, who was tardy and who participated. That's just the way it ran during the Shanahan regime.
Interesting.
Here's another fun little fact about the Shanahan regime. Let's say he got into work at 5:30 in the morning. When he got to work, on his desk, when he got there, were all the newspaper clippings and any videos from the broadcast from the television the night before.
So he was a rabbit. He had rabbit ears. I mean, he basically heard and saw everything.
He knew everything that was going on. He wanted to know everything that was going on. He wanted to know everything that was being said about him and his team. And if he didn't like it, you'd get a tap on the shoulder from Jim Sacamano.
Yeah.
And that conversation was, Mike would like to see you in his office. And I got one of those.
Did you say, should I bring my playbook?
No. But I did get one of those, and I'll save that story for another day.
Attaboy.
Or maybe I'll tell you in break. Coming up after the break, one guy I have really grown to like talking to in the locker room is Draymond Jones.
With good reason.
And, you know, everybody, I saw this yesterday. While everybody was talking to Bradley Chubb, and I talked to Bradley privately, okay, I was talking to Draymond. And everyone is falling all over what Bradley said, which was, I hate the Raiders. I got news for you. Draymond upped it. He upped the ante big time. And you're going to hear that next.
Move ahead. Try to detect it. It's not too late to whip it. Whip it good. When I got time.
Drive with Goodman and Hurdle, presented by Silter Har Mazda, a no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, Here's Eric and Bruce.
Welcome back, Morning Drive. Goodman Hurdle. Watch us, MileHighSports.com. You can reach us on the Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed, at Bruce Hurdle, at Eric Goodman. If you're looking for wholesale lumber to the public, go to rmfp.com. In the meantime, I want to tell you about Dan McKenzie, McKenzie Law. For my wife and I, he did our estate plan, our will, our living will, and I can tell you, I could not be any happier working with him for a lot of different reasons. Number one, he asked the right questions. He made me feel comfortable. He also got everything down that I needed in there because there's a lot going on. Listen, I'm married. I have a daughter. And same thing with Mandy. So now we're a four-person family. So ours is probably a little bit more complicated. And if you haven't taken care of this and you do have a family, I highly recommend that you do it because you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. But if you're single and you might think, well, I don't make a lot of money, I can promise you, you do need to talk to Dan because just your living will as an example, that has nothing to do with having a family. That has everything to do with, God forbid, you're in a one-car accident and you're in a vegetative state and you don't want to live like that potentially for the rest of your life. You need to give that authority to the doctor to pull the plug if that's indeed what you want. Something I think that Bruce would do even if it wasn't necessary to me. It depends on the day with the show, but I'm sure he has thought to himself, you know what? I would like to pull the plug on this guy.
I'd like to reach over and pull it on myself if I'm in that kind of state.
Yeah, right.
Seriously.
Well, you don't have a right to do that.
I know.
Right. You don't have a right to do that. But legally, you do if you meet with Dan McKenzie at the McKenzie Firm. Go to themckenziefirm.com. Time now for The Buzz.
The Buzz is presented by Rocky Mountain Forest Products, where they specialize in wholesale lumber to the public. Go to Rocky Mountain Forest Products in Wheat Ridge or go to rmfp.com.
I think it's fair to say with you and I in the locker room as much as we are, and of course, Zach, who, you know, does a great job with MileHighSports.com, punching all the right buttons, making sure that you look good. He doesn't do much for me. He's in the locker room as well. We all have our favorite guys that we like to talk to, and all the guys pretty much are really, really good interviews.
They really are.
But one guy I really gravitate towards more than anything else, whether I'm talking to him as an interviewer or just saying hi and, you know, shooting the bull, is Draymond Jones. He's a fantastic guy, an excellent player. He's a comer in this league, and he is a fantastic interview. Here's my conversation with him.
You have been around this franchise long enough where you have been through some tough times.
Yes, sir.
It seemed like in the locker room following the win over the 49ers, it was a celebration like none of us have ever heard standing outside the locker room. You have had plenty of celebrations at Ohio State, but does this match what happened at Ohio State or maybe surpassed it just for a regular season win?
I think it matches the energy for one, because I feel like we've been a part of those tough games before in those past with this program we have, and we haven't came on top. So, I mean, that game obviously could have went either way, us winning 11-10, but I think for us it was like pivotal for the guys that have been here the longest to see that we finally got one of those games where, yeah, it was close, but we finally won.
Do you believe in the phrase learning how to win?
Yes, I do. You have to learn how to win. You have to know. You have to, like, experience it and see it. Because, like, you know, you can say we need to go out there and win games, but if you have never won before over and over, you know, repetitively, you don't really know how to win football games.
So what does a win like that do to carry over when you're in a situation like that again, whether you're down or anything like that?
It kind of just builds, you know. It instills confidence into us because we know we can win in those tough situations. And just kind of builds chemistry, too.
You have watched film of the Raiders. Is that correct?
Yes, I have.
Yeah. Okay. How do you watch film of the Raiders when they have seven different offensive line combinations?
I'm not going to lie. It's kind of hard. But I think it's going to be harder on them than it is on us because, you know, with O-line, you need chemistry. And I feel like those guys don't have a lot of that given their rotation. So it's been hard just to watch. But I think they're still going to run the same offense. And we expect them to be physical because I know they're a line that's pretty much unproven because they've been rotating so much.
I was talking to somebody today, a former NFL player covers the Raiders, and he said one reason why I think that our offense is struggling is because everything is new.
Yeah.
Sound familiar with your offense?
I think their situation is different from our offense. Anything new is always hard. This defense is new. It all depends on how you respond. So, you know, their situation is that it's new for them, so they're having a tough time picking it up, and that's just on them. So,
does Derek Carr look a little bit different from what you've seen this year than he has in previous years?
Oh, no, it's been the same. I guess Derek Carr, he looks like a – he has moments where he looks like an all-pro quarterback, and then he has moments where he just looks like, you know, just kind of average a little bit, but not anything below average. But I think Derek Carr is going to be a huge issue for us. He's a hell of a quarterback. He has been since I've been in this league.
Now, I know you're not trying to say anything derogatory and put up bulletin board material.
No.
But the feeling that I get watching him and my friend who played in the league has said about him is this. He was far more consistent under Gruden's system last year. You weren't seeing the dips. Are you seeing more dips this season than you've seen in previous seasons?
Time will tell. It's only been 3 games, so it's hard to just, like, pinpoint whether there's going to be a dip or not. I mean, it's not enough out there for him to really dip. I mean, they haven't even won a game, so it's not much. From a statistical standpoint, it seems like he's doing a great job.
Right.
I know they just got to win football games, and I don't want to be tuning to give him the first win.
I'm guessing you don't read stats like I do. So the Raiders have lost 3 games, and the teams that they have lost to haven't won a game themselves outside of beating the Raiders.
Yep.
Is that significant or insignificant?
I mean, to my opinion, I think it's really significant. Kind of shows a little bit that everybody's going through the wolves with winning and losing. And it shows that the Raiders haven't really lost by much when they do play. They play almost outstanding football. It would be outstanding if they won, but no, they got some things going on that's pretty positive for them. They just got to keep working and building. Again, the inconsistency with O-line, I'm pretty sure that's a huge issue for them. So I know when they play us, I mean, it's been like that since I've been here these past, 4 seasons. Every time they play us, I don't know what their, no matter what their record is, they try to go out there and win a Super Bowl on us. It's that beef. So I'm expecting a dogfight.
There's clearly rivalry, Ohio State and Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
But with all the change in the NFL, rosters turn around about a third.
Mm-hmm.
20 years ago, it's Raiders week. I know they're a division opponent.
Mm-hmm.
But is it Raiders week anymore?
No, it's still the same. We're not taking anything lightly. It's about winning the West, and they're in our division. So we play them boys twice a year. So that beef and that animosity and that rage is still there. I treat that rivalry for real. I hate the Raiders. I don't mess with the black. They got going on there. So I'm trying to destroy them like it's Michigan.
Do you hate the Raiders more than the Chiefs or the Chargers more than the Chiefs or vice versa? Or do you hate them all equally?
I hate the Chiefs the most. I'm not going to lie. I hate all of them, but I hate the Chiefs the most.
Why? Just because they keep beating you guys?
That's part of it. And just like, that's an arrogant-ass team, for real, for real. So I'm kind of tired. I want them to lose. I want to beat them.
Almost outstanding. I love that phrase.
Yeah.
Because there's truth in it.
Yeah.
Right?
They have shown flashes.
Yes, they have.
And they've had plenty of opportunities to score touchdowns, but you've had drop passes.
Yeah.
They're not. Mike Pritchard, who covers the Raiders, and he's out in Vegas. He'll be joining us. He's from VSiN, the Sports Gambling Network. And he and I had a conversation yesterday, and he brought it to my attention. I said, yeah, they're scoring points, okay? But they've left a lot of points, you know, off the board because guys are dropping passes in the end zone. They are just not executing at a high enough level. When you look at their average points per game, far better than what the Broncos are doing
sure.
right now.
Yeah.
But they should have a lot more. Plus, they've blown 2 big leads this season. They never should have lost to Arizona.
No.
They never should have lost in their game to Tennessee.
No.
But they did, because quite frankly, their defense isn't very good. We knew the Raiders secondary wasn't that good coming into the season. Now they're missing a top guy, and they're getting passed on. They're not the no fly zone. They are the fly anytime zone.
Yeah. They I thought you gave us a really good nugget on 7 different offensive line combinations and his reaction to that. It's harder on them than it is on us.
Right.
Which is a very apropos observation, because the chemistry of an offensive line, as we all know, is absolutely essential. You got to know how the guy next to you is functioning, There is so much. I do this. You do this to help me. I do this to help you. And that takes time and understanding of what the guy next to you on the right and the left are doing. So I think that I thought that was really, really interesting. But it's all about winning the West. And isn't that the truth? The Broncos were 1-5 last year in the division. 1-5. Yeah, they were 7-6 at one point, and they could have gone one direction. They ended up going another. But the fact of the matter is they were 1-5 in the division. And until that starts to change, the Broncos are not going to be a player, not only in the division, but in the AFC.
Coming up after the break, we talked about this exact topic 2 weeks ago. Or last week, I can't remember. I don't know what I had for lunch yesterday. Maybe age is playing a part in me remembering things. I told you about a guy by the name of Ryan McGee, writes for ESPN.
Right.
And he writes a column every week, the 10 worst teams in college football. We told you that Colorado and Colorado State were pretty far down on the list.
Pretty far?
Well, wait until you hear where McGee has them now. Ugh. Wow. And then, boy, this guy is smarmy as F, isn't he? The things that he wrote about both of these teams,
yeah.
Wait till you hear this next.
Morning Drive with Goodman and Hurdle, presented by Silter Har Mazda. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Silter Har Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Bruce.
Welcome back. Morning Drive, Goodman Hurdle. Watch us, MileHighSports.com. Reach us on the Rocky Mountain Forest Products Twitter feed. At Bruce Hurdle, at Eric Goodman. If you're looking for wholesale lumber to the public on your next project, whether it's a deck or a fence or anything else, you're going to get the best pricing out there because it's wholesale, and you're going to get what Rocky Mountain Forest Products gets, which is the pick of the litter when it comes to lumber because they deal directly with the lumber mill. So you get the best product, best price, Rocky Mountain Forest Products. Go to rmfp.com. Time now for What's Trending.
What's Trending? Presented by Silter Har Mazda. Get to Silter Har in Broomfield for a no-pressure buying experience at Silter Har Mazda or find them at sthmazda.com.
Told you a couple of weeks ago that this might be a recurring segment on this show, and I don't think we can really go any lower than what we have this week. ESPN's Ryan McGee writes a column about the 10 worst teams in college football. And you can make the case, well, why does he have to beat up on teams that aren't very good? Well, he has a job to do. This is a column that people will read.
Oh, yeah.
They want to see if their team is in there. And it's clickbait, if we're really being honest.
No question.
So at the time, we talked about this a week or so ago, Colorado and Colorado State were close to the bottom of his list. Now, according to McGee, they are at the bottom of the list. The Rams, according to McGee, are the worst team in college football, and the Buffs are the second worst team in Colorado football. In football, I should say, not in Colorado, but they are the second worst team in the country. This is what he writes about the Rams, and he starts it off by writing Colorado State, 0-4. The Rams extended their FBS worst losing streak to 10 games after a 41-10 loss at home to Sacramento State. For the FCS Hornets of the Big Sky Conference, marked just the second win over an FBS program in 25 tries. Though sources tell the bottom five, a petition has been filed to have that win over an FBS program distinction removed because, hey, does Colorado State really qualify?
Ouch.
Ba-dum-bum. Yeah. Writes it jokingly, but that's as much of a slam as you are going to get.
Yeah, sometimes the truth hurts. Meanwhile, about Colorado, he writes...
Colorado.
Colorado.
Yeah.
Guy probably would have gone with Colorado. No. But that's okay. meanwhile, the Buffs. Also, Ralphied up their fourth... Ralphied, get it? Ralphied up their fourth loss of the year, spurring state officials to explore putting together a last-minute edition of the Rocky Mountain Showdown, which is not being played this season. However, instead of holding the contest inside of Empower Field, home of the Denver Broncos, it would be played next door in the parking lot where a Mile High Stadium used to be. Thank you.
Do you think the fan bases are riled up by this?
I hope so, because the worst reaction is no reaction. If apathy takes over in the fan bases of these programs, then you've got a real issue.
I don't think the fan bases are riled up at all. And I don't think they're riled up for a couple of reasons. One, they know how bad both of these programs are. They know they really can't make an argument saying, well, this guy's being too harsh on us. Colorado has been curb stomped in every game this season, and the games have not been close. I know that Minnesota beat Michigan State. I get that. But they have just looked putrid on almost every single level. As for Colorado State, I think their fans are thinking, fine, slam on us all you want. We have a new head coach. Yep. We believe in this new head coach.
I think you're right.
And eventually we are going to be better. For Colorado, they're not upset with McGee. They're upset that Carl Durrell is still the head coach.
Yeah, and as such, it makes the conundrum at Boulder probably more significant than obviously the meltdown in Fort Collins. You've got to believe that in Fort Collins, there is a plan in place to move the program forward. They have a guy that has been successful, a guy that I think will be able to recruit to Colorado State. And I'm fairly bullish about the direction that they're headed in the long term, right, not necessarily the short term. Colorado, not so much. It bothered me, and we really didn't get into this too much a couple of weeks ago when Rick George put out the statement, I hate stuff like that. Don't try to massage the masses out there. Don't ask for patience. Don't ask.
The guy's been there for three years.
Exactly.
Patience for what?
We know what it is. We can see it with our own eyes.
Right.
And give the fan base some credit for knowing what they're looking at.
It was the dreaded vote of confidence.
Oh, I just, because how, you know, now what do you do?
But here's
still getting your ass kicked. Now what do you do?
Here's the thing, is that Colorado has, unfortunately, a history of paying coaches when they're no longer there.
Right.
Because of past mistakes that have been made. And the biggest problem for CU is, I don't think they know what conference they're going to be in the next 3 years, what kind of television revenue they're going to have. Is the Pac-12 going to survive? Are they going to wind up moving to the Big 12? And again, what type of TV money are they going to have moving forward? The other problem for Rick George is, he is not going to win any popularity contest with the boosters. For the most part, I know more than a few boosters, and I've talked to them. He is not well-liked by the boosters. Mm. They're tired of him.
Interesting.
And he's the guy who's going to be making the decision on whether to fire Durrell, who he hired, by the way.
Yes.
Or let him go. With that, I'll ask you, because you are TV boy. I used to be TV boy, but I am no longer TV boy. When you have teams that are honestly right now, and I hate to say this about Colorado State because I think they are going to eventually start climbing the ladder with Jay Norvell, when they are so incredibly irrelevant and there is so much apathy around both programs, do you ask your assignment desk or do you talk to your photographer and say, go up there and cover the press conference?
We do it all in-house with our people, so we don't even bother with the assignment desk. We do it inside of our own department.
So you and Dave Althaus, do you make a decision? Let's go up to Boulder and shoot the press conference, or I don't know if you go to Fort Collins, or let's take their feed in and run it on the show.
The press conferences are shot at both places each time. They are available to everybody via a city pool shooter.
So you don't even
everyone
go up there.
Takes the responsibility.
Unless somebody wants a free lunch. You don't send anybody up there. Well, let's call it like it is.
Yeah, but I mean,
let's call it like it is.
Right, yeah. I mean, And I don't know what everyone else is doing.
Do you run
at
their
this
press
point.
Conferences?
No.
Oh.
No.
And you and how many shows do you have a day?
Oh my God.
Right.
Yeah.
So wait
not
a minute.
Many.
So you do sports hits as a combination between Fox 31 and Channel 2. How many shows do you have sports in?
4, 5, 7, 10, 11.
Jeez. So wait, you have 10 sports hits per day. That does not include or doesn't include your half hour sports show every night.
Every night.
On Channel 2.
Yeah.
So
well, now we've done stuff with them, but to the point where they are now,
right.
You've got to start to measure level of interest or lack thereof.
So you have all of this time to play with
mm-hmm.
and you don't even bother giving them a 15 second read, a 10 second soundbite, and all the inventory you have.
I can't speak for the rest of the crew. My guess is that there is stuff getting on the air. I don't watch every single thing that we do. I'm pretty busy. I really am. TV boy. But
lack of accountability right over here.
No lack of accountability.
I'm just way too busy to be knowing what's going on in my sports department. You're the senior guy. You should know what's going on.
No, not really. Because I have my responsibilities. Everyone else has theirs. I don't expect people to work on their off days.
Yeah.
And you know, I just don't.
Like the offense with Russell Wilson?
Well, there you go.
Right.
I was trying to make that. Thank you. You're a little late to the party there.
I'm not late to the party, but I'm not just eye candy. I'm smart.
Yes.
As my wife would say, I'm smart. Not smart because Scottish people drop their T's. I'm smart. I'm smart.
There you go. My guess is that they are continuing to get time, but would it be... If Colorado right now was 2-3 or 2-2 or whatever the number is.
They were competitive.
Right.
How's that? They're 0-4, but they're competitive.
Then it would be, obviously, what is it? Tuesday, is that the coach's press conference? And then you get a little of this and a little of that throughout the week. Yes, it would be a more consistent thing. We are, I am sure, judging the temperature and checking the pulse, but is it covering the two programs? No.
At the risk of sounding critical, and it's not meant to be critical, I'm using the wrong word. Tuesday is free lunch day for your photographers who are underpaid. That's what Tuesday is.
Okay, well,
is that another way to put it?
Fine.
Isn't that another way to put it?
I'm trying to think of the last time that I went to something to get a free lunch. My deal is
not you because you're well paid. I'm talking about the underpaid photographers who get a free lunch.
They might like that.
And they stuff a couple of extra cookies in their photog bag.
Take a roll for the road.
Right. What do we have coming up on Just In Case You Missed It?
Aaron Judge has tied a record that has stood for, oddly enough, 61 years. And DeAndre Ayton had some eyebrow-raising comments at Suns Media Day. What did he say? That's next on Morning Drive with Goodman and Hurdle on Mile High Sports.
This cowboy's running from himself. She's been living on the high shelf.
Duh. A no-pressure buying experience in Broomfield at Siltahar Mazda. Find them at sthmazda.com. Live from the Sasquatch Casino and Wildcard Casino Sports Desk, here's Eric and Bruce.
Wow. Well done with the bumping song.
Thank you. I was wondering if you would make the connection.
Oh, of course I made the connection. I love that movie. Why did something else happen? Dangerous Minds? Why don't you explain to everybody why you're playing this song?
Oh, Coolio, a rapper born in 1963, passed away last night. And want to honor him by playing his music all day long today.
Well done. All right, time now for the final word.
The final word. Presented by Greenfield's Pool and Sports Bar in Lakewood. Greenfield's has everything under one roof, including the best happy hour in town. 2-for-1 wine, well, and drafts from 3 until 7 p.m. Just in case you missed it. Presented by Mountain High Appliance, Colorado's favorite appliance store for 25 years in Louisville, Colorado Springs, and now open in their new store in Littleton. Go to mountainhighappliance.com.
All right, just in case you missed it, Aaron Judge hit home run at number 61 on the season last night to tie Roger Maris's American League record that was set in 1961, 61 years ago. What is your reaction to Judge hitting 61 big flies, and will he hit number 62 at home this weekend against Baltimore?
I think he'll hit 62, maybe more. I think there's some poetic justice here. He did hit his 61st home run in the 154th game of the season, which is what Babe Ruth's record of 60 home runs was. That's how many games he had to hit 60. Roger Maris had 162. Right. So there we go. Good for Aaron Judge. Great moment. More power to him.
I'm not suggesting there should be an asterisk, but let's just do some very simple math here. All right. Roger Maris, I believe, hit his 61st home run on the second to last day of the season.
He did.
But he played in 161 games. I don't know when Babe Ruth hit 61 at what point of the season. Did he hit in game 151, 152, 153?
Yeah, good call.
What I can tell you is Aaron Judge did it in game 151.
Let me ask you a question. Take Roger Maris out of 1961.
Yeah.
Just for the sake of argument.
Yeah.
And here we are 61 years later. And would there be an asterisk behind Aaron Judge's name? Like there was for Roger Maris, who accomplished it in 160. It wasn't 161 games that he played in.
No.
It was a 162 game season.
Right. But
Aaron Judge, it did it in 154, but he's playing in 162 game season.
He tied the record by playing his 151st game.
Right.
So he's under the 154 anyway.
Yeah. But
if Babe Ruth hit his 61st home run in game 150, then to me, he's the single season guy. If he hit it in game 152, then Judge is the guy. The fewest amount of games that you hit 61 home runs in.
Yep.
To me, it's simple math. I understand it's black and white, but I also, my opinion, but I also understand that it needs to be colored as well.
Yeah.
It really, I mean, listen, but this would never happen. What if, for the sake of argument, Aaron Judge hit his 61st home run in his 130th game, and then the next day goes on the DLs out for the rest of the season?
Wow.
Isn't that more impressive?
Yeah.
Well, he did it in game 151, period.
Right. But the asterisk was there with the understanding of he did it in a 162-game season. Not that he hit it his 61st home run in his 161st game. I just think my thinking now is no way there'd be an asterisk. But there was then. It was the very first year that they'd gone from 154 to 162, and there was very much a feeling of protectionism for Babe Ruth and his legacy that I think probably doesn't exist now.
Right. I'm looking this up, and hopefully I'll find it. I don't know when Babe Ruth hit his 61st home run, but I'd be curious to know.
60th. He never hit 61.
Or hit his 60th.
60th home run.
I would be curious to know when he did that.
I bet you we can find that.
That's what I'm trying to look up right now. All right, that was Mountain High Appliance, just in case you missed it. Starting tomorrow, the biggest sale of the year for any appliance store, because they are the biggest and they are the best. They have this huge showroom now. They bought more space to make their clearance center even bigger. You can buy thousands of one-of-a-kinds display models, scratched and dented, canceled misorders, and you get the best, you know, products out there. Whirlpool, GE, Sub-Zero, LG, Samsung. Almost everything there is at or below cost. You're going to be going out there because you have some things that you need to buy, Bruce. If you get out there, may they open at 8, but if you're there by 9:30, you're going to pretty much have your pick of the litter. Go to Mountain High Appliance. You can find them in Louisville, Littleton, and of course their clearance center where the big sale is. You can find them in Denver. Coming up after the break, Nathaniel Hackett said the Broncos offense has been held back because of self-inflicted wounds. Russell Wilson says, we'd be unstoppable if the offense gets rolling. Well, here, do you think they could really start rolling if maybe Hackett designs more plays to suit what Wilson does best, which is move? That's next.
Devil who flees out.